All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is September 24th, 2025. And the top story this morning, oh, I just love it. They're just making up numbers now, guys. Congratulations, Sam Altman. You came up with the biggest random number this week. This is the OpenAI, NVIDIA, Oracle, SoftBank, Infinite Money Glitch. It's basically Michael Saylor with GPUs. That is what this AI bubble has turned into. Not one day after NVIDIA's incestuous $100 billion round-tripping scheme with OpenAI was announced. Not one day later. Now Sam Altman is in Abilene, Texas yesterday talking about how we need to spend $1 trillion on AI compute. Yes, Dr. Evil, $1 trillion. Just spouting off big numbers now. And why not? You know what? This market does not keep anybody honest. This market rewards dishonesty to a ridiculous extent. So why wouldn't they say a trillion? Hell, why don't we just make it a quadrillion and be done with it? Let's skip all this silly pomp and ceremony. Let's just go right to a quadrillion. Pile three more zeros on that, Sam. You want to impress me? Let's go with numbers we've never even freaking heard before. And just look at some of the ridiculous things that they're saying. By the way, none of these companies have the money. All right. Is that an important detail that nobody has the money? We're going to spend $1 trillion, but we don't have it. And also, isn't the point of business to make money, not to incinerate it? How come all of the headlines about AI for the last month have been, here's how much we're spending on AI. Here's what we're spending. We're spending even more. We're spending even more. Alibaba even wants to spend more. Any of them talking about making any money? Anyone? Some of you guys in the back? No? Nobody? Nobody's making any money. All right, but you know what? Hey, I'm just a Twitter rando. I don't get it clearly. But here's what, when pressed about where the financing was going to come from, Sam Altman said, I don't think we've figured out yet the final form of what financing for compute looks like. All right, when pressed for details about where you're going to get $1 trillion, because you don't have $1 trillion, why inject accountability or why actually say where the money's going to come from when you can just recycle a stupid line you heard in an episode of Dragon Ball Z 20 years ago and then just like move on past it? Don't worry, we haven't seen the final form. All right, thanks, Lord Frieza. And then he goes on later in these interviews and he's talking about, oh, you know, if we don't build enough compute now, we might have to make the difficult choice between curing cancer and free education for all the children of the world. Really said that. He really freaking said that. Oh, well, if you're not in favor of $1 trillion in compute, then you must either want the kids to have cancer or not go to school. Is there anybody left alive? Seriously, is there really anybody left alive who doesn't believe Sam Altman is utterly and entirely full of shit? I mean, I don't think there's really any reasonable person alive who still believes a thing this guy says, but they'll all throw money at him. Not because they believe in his business. Nobody believes in this business anymore, guys. You look at the comments on Twitter. Just do a Twitter search for round tripping and look at how many hits come up. Everybody knows this is fake now, all right? It's no longer just my conspiracy theory or Samantha's or Dario's or Kakashi or any of the other guys. I'm sorry if I missed a few. There's a lot of guys who are on this early with me. But it's no longer our conspiracy theory. Now we all know it's fake. There's no pretending anymore, although they're still trying to pretend. It's just people are still chasing the stock because they think they can find some bag holder at a higher price and still make money for themselves. And if that's you, congratulations, you're a piece of shit. That is how that works, all right? When you knowingly throw money into what something you know is a scam because you think you can find some bigger idiot to buy it from you at a higher price, that makes you part of it. And that's about all I got to say about that this morning. Meanwhile, by the way, round tripping, make it trend. Make it effing trend on Twitter, round tripping. Make it so they can't hide from it. And then people who don't know any better will look it up and figure out what it means and realize, holy shit, it's just a little girl buying her own Girl Scout cookies, this whole thing. Or Peggy Bundy buying her own cosmetics, if you will. What else we got? Alibaba, $50 billion in AI spend. Again, the whole point is now to light money on fire, not to actually make money. We got Micron earnings. They actually are making money. Micron earnings were pretty good. They beat expectations. Again, the hardware suppliers are the only ones turning a profit. None of the AI companies are making any money. We've got Donald Trump now wants to take a stake in Lithium Americas Corp. That is the biggest, or what would be the biggest lithium mine in America. President Trump continues to run the government like a hedge fund. And by the way, what do we call it again when the government owns the means of production? Do we have a term for that? Oh, yeah, communism. Yeah. Donald Trump becoming a communist is not something I had on my 2020s bingo card. I get why they're doing it. I get there are strategic weaknesses and competition with China. They could cut us off at any minute. But let's call it what it is, guys. It's the government controlling the means of production. It is what it is. Meanwhile, defense stocks rallied yesterday when President Trump's comments at the UN, you know, after he climbed up the escalator that was temporarily out of order. I'm sure the Secret Service loved that. President Trump said that Ukraine can win back all of its territory with help from the EU and NATO. The Donald is pissed that his overtures for peace in Ukraine were summarily rejected or manipulated by Vladimir Putin, depending on your stance. And then Putin decided it'd be funny to throw some drones into Poland, and then it'd be funny to send his fighters to circle some capitals in the Baltics. And now Trump's like, to hell with it, shoot down their planes and let's give Ukraine their territory back. I mean, a noticeable shift in President Trump's rhetoric towards Ukraine yesterday, a very noticeable shift. And it does bring us even closer to war. Although, you know, hey, like when you're sending fighters into NATO airspace, like what the hell, what success manual did you find that in? Oh, invade airspace of the biggest military alliance the world has ever seen. Oh, yeah, that's a one-way ticket to the top. Good thinking there, Vlad. Elsewhere, we've got signs of a dollar shortages emerging in pockets overseas. Now, look, these dollar shortages, they may just be isolated cases and other stories going along. But I'm very vigilant about this because of the trade war, because of the shrinking U.S. trade deficit. Most of the world, the reason why it's able to buy U.S. government debt is because they have an ample supply of dollars because they run trade surpluses with the U.S. That is what enables the twin deficits of the U.S. economy, the big trade deficit and the big fiscal deficit in governments. You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work. And so since we are shrinking the trade deficit, you've got things like Argentina is short of dollars that they need to defend the peso. Well, this morning, China has decided to double the amount of soybeans they're buying from Argentina. We talked about this story yesterday. Now they're up to 20 cargoes of soybeans. They're doing it because they don't want to buy American soybeans because of the trade war. They're paying in U.S. dollars, so Argentina is getting a little bit of relief from its dollar shortage. You also got Treasury Secretary Bessent is out there saying we're going to give Argentina a $20 billion swap line at the Treasury, also to give them dollars to defend their currency from falling. And then this morning, we've got Indonesian banks are increasing the interest rates that they're paying on dollars to try to convince their people to store their dollars in the banking system so that the Indonesian banks can defend their currency, the rupiah, which has been falling. So that's two places in the world that are short of dollars and struggling to keep their own currencies afloat. Again, I'm not sure if this is specifically the result of the trade war, but the trade war is certainly contributing to this. And if this is just the early innings of what's to come, then we could actually see a spike in the DXY, a surging dollar, as everybody is desperate for dollars, kind of like the whole dollar milkshake thing coming back again. We've got mortgage rates fell just 5 basis points last week, and that is the week that included the Fed's rate cut. Mortgage applications have stalled now. We're going to look at the chart and see what happened the last time we were here with mortgage rates. And here's a hint. They didn't go down like they were supposed to. And of course, we've got our private equity warning of the day. This time we're talking about Cove Light. What? Cove Light? What the heck does that mean? Well, that is the new term for loans that basically have no alarms, no early warning system built into them. You just run smack into the wall of default. It seems like everything's going fine and then your money is gone. And of course, an instrument like that would be all the rage on Wall Street these days, as they pile all that crap into your 401k. Don't let them do it. Guys, we got a lot to talk about. Once again, jam-packed show. Let's shrink my big melon of a head and see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button. and that subscribe button right next to it for you new guys, because we do this every day. So come on back and have your coffee with the Melonheads. Right now, the S&P 500 is up by 11 points, 0.17%, doing a little bit better than yesterday. Stocks had a pretty rough day yesterday. We've got the Dow is up 81 points or 0.18%. Now, kind of bouncing around right there between 50 and 80 points. I don't know what that was. The NASDAQ is up 53 points ahead of the opening bell, 0.22% higher after losing more than 200 points yesterday. It was a rough day for tech. Looking over at the dollar, we've got a slightly higher dollar this morning, 62 basis points to the upside or 0.64%. See also those earlier comments about dollar shortages emerging around the world. I don't know if that's really moving the Dixie this morning. Indonesia and Argentina, is that enough to send the Dixie higher? I doubt it. Probably something else going on here. Looking over at the bond market here, we've got yields are higher pretty much, across the board here. The 30-year Treasury, 4.751. That's up by a point and a half. The 10-year's at 4.136, also up a point and a half. The 2-year's at 3.582. That's up 1 point and change. And the 1 month is higher by a point at 4.085. So we got higher interest rates this morning. Looking at the commodities board, well, I guess they can't all be up days, can they? We got a little bit of a mixed bag here on metals, although if this is what passes for a pullback, remind me to file a complaint. Got spot gold is up by about $7 here at $37.71. Now the December gold future is down by about $11, so gold is pretty much flat here. It's interesting to see the two moving in different directions. That's usually some kind of policy risk involved. And we're getting the same thing in silver. Spot silver is at $44.20, higher by about 17 cents or 0.38%. Meanwhile, the front month silver contract is down at $44.50, off by about 11 cents or a quarter of 1%. But you know what? Either way, I like the shiny. Copper is up by 1.5%. Platinum is down by 1.4%. Palladium is up by a fraction of a percent. And West Texas Intermediate crude oil is at $64.40 for that front month November contract. That is higher by about a dollar or 1.5%. Looking over at Bitcoin, doing a little bit better than yesterday morning. Actually, I mean, we're like kind of right where we were this time yesterday. I think we were 112.9 on the live stream yesterday. Now we're at 113.40. $113,045 is priced on Coinbase, up about $1,000 from yesterday. Bitcoin still kind of hovering around here since that big sell-off that we saw Sunday night into Monday. All right, we got to talk about this one, guys. OpenAI unveils plans for seemingly limitless expansion of computing power. All right, and we have reached that phrase, that phase. We've reached that part where we just make up big numbers and idiots buy stock and it works for about a day. We know where this goes, guys. This works until it doesn't, and when it stops working, it is catastrophic. In Texas Prairie, the startup showcases ground zero of AI boom and its plan to shepherd $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. I love the choice of words there, Wall Street Journal. They're planned to shepherd $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. I see Sam Altman standing there in a robe with one of those shepherds. What do they call that hook that the shepherds stand? He's tending his flock as they graze nearby. Yeah, that's Sam Altman. Like he would know what to do with a sheep. Or God forbid what he would do with a sheep, I should say. OpenAI laid out its vision for a vast $1 trillion build-out of computing warehouses across the U.S. and abroad Tuesday, showcasing the development of a Central Park-sized complex about 180 miles west of Dallas. A day after the startup announced an incestuous $100 billion deal with NVIDIA that helped silence naysayers. No, it didn't. It just made us louder about its finances. OpenAI disclosed that it would ultimately need more than 13 times the computing power of its first nascent site, which is rising out of the Texas brushland. Company executives made clear that the Abilene site was just the beginning, noting that they envision a need for more than 20 gigawatts of computing capacity to meet the explosive demand for ChatGPT, which now has more than 700 million weekly users. Yesterday, it was 10 gigawatts, and yesterday's 10 gigawatts was a freaking delusion, a fantasy that'll never happen because of the U.S. power grid can't possibly support it. But you know what? If they get away with 10, why not make it 20? Let's go to 100 if you want to impress me. Start adding zeros, Sam. Each gigawatt of capacity is expected to cost roughly $50 billion, meaning the company is laying the groundwork for at least $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. Demand is likely to eventually reach closer to 100 gigawatts. There we are. He actually did it. Oh, my God. I was being sarcastic. Shut up, Jack. He thinks you're serious. 100 gigawatts. Sure. Why not? Once you're off the ground and your head is in the clouds, you might as well keep going. One company executive said, which would cost $5 trillion. That exceeds the annual GDP of Japan or Germany. All right. By the way, that's the third and fourth largest economies in the world. Sure. Yeah. $5 trillion. I don't think we've figured out yet the final form of what financing for compute looks like, said Gohan, OpenAI CEO. But I assume, like in many other technological revolutions, figuring out the right answer to that will unlock a huge amount of value delivered to society. Yes, value like chatbots that convince mentally ill teenagers to unalive themselves and, you know, tell us to put glue on our pizzas. Yes, Sam, way to unlock value. Also, we got this one. I love this in Bloomberg because of who is involved here. NVIDIA's OpenAI deal fuels circular financing concerns. And I did mention yesterday that Wall Street Journal was the only one addressing the circularity of the movement of money. Bloomberg was a day late to it, but they did come out on it. But it's who did Bloomberg reach out to? Let's scroll down a little bit here. What is it? Get rid of all this pop-up crap. Let's just skip all this stuff. The action will clearly fuel circular concerns, said Stacy Raskin, an analyst with Bernstein Research. Those concerns have followed NVIDIA to varying degrees for much of the AI boom. The chipmaker participated in more than 50 different venture investment deals for AI companies in 2024. That's more than 50 companies of their own customers that NVIDIA gave money to just last year, before the $100 billion with OpenAI. And it's on pace to top that number this year, according to data from PitchBook. Some of these companies, which include AI model makers and cloud providers, then use that capital to buy NVIDIA's expensive graphic processing units. In other words, NVIDIA is manufacturing the demand for their own product. It was never real to begin with. But the size of the OpenAI investment appears to dwarf all of the others, Raskin said. The deal will likely fuel these worries much hotter than what we've seen previously and perhaps justifiably. Oh, really, Stacy? Justifiably? Raise concerns over the rationale behind the action, Raskin wrote. NVIDIA has said that investment in OpenAI will not be used for any direct purchases of NVIDIA products, Raskin added, which is a lie. NVIDIA's money will be coming right back to them for direct purchases. They're just using a middleman to do it. Now, the reason I'm focusing on this, guys, is the name of the analyst. All right, if you guys have been following this channel for 2 years, then that name should be familiar, Stacy Raskin, because he is the quack that put out the debunking note back in September of 2023, when I first said what they're all saying now, that NVIDIA was artificially inflating the demand for its own product. I had this story 2 years ago, and Stacy Raskin, that analyst at Bernstein, squashed the story with his BS debunking story. Wall Street analyst defends NVIDIA from Twitter randos spreading bearish conspiracy theory, as if calling it a conspiracy theory in the 2020s isn't daring it to be true. Now Stacy Raskin is saying, perhaps justifiably, the circular accounting worries. Maybe the Twitter randos that I made fun of and launched a whole bunch of personal attacks in order to destroy their work, maybe they were right after all. Oh, well, you know, $20 trillion in market cap later and the destruction of people's 401ks, exactly what I warned about happening, happened. Sorry, says Stacy Raskin, perhaps justifiably. Watch these guys, watch these clowns start to slowly walk back their bullshit and then act like they're the ones who saw it coming. Mark my words, they'll try it. Meanwhile, Alibaba shares soar after hiking AI budget past $50 billion. Guys, that's the story. There's no need to read the article. Alibaba is like, they look at Sam and they look at Jensen and Ellison and they're like, oh, all these guys brag about how much money they're losing and their stocks go up. We should do that too. How about $50 billion to start? And look what happens to Alibaba. The stock is up 8%. Well, go figure, it worked. Isn't it funny how that works? $176 and 35 cents for Alibaba. What do they call this? ADRs, American Depository Receipts, shares of Chinese companies trading here in the States. We also got Micron beats on earnings as the company's sales rise 46% on the AI boom. Again, we're going to go pretty fast through this one, guys. Micron up big year to date. They make that high bandwidth memory that is also needed at data centers. As always, it is the people who sell hardware who make money in this bubble and nobody else. None of the software people, none of the AI startups make any money. None of the cloud companies make any money. They burn it like a drunken sailor on vacation. But the hardware guys are making out like bandits. The interesting thing, though, look at Micron stock. It's down. They posted like 46, 47% year-over-year EPS growth. And the stock is down on that news. That just means the expectations were artificially high here. Stock's currently trading $165.25. That's down about $1.15. But year-to-date, this thing is a double, up 97.7%. So it's just a case of, you know, all of this earnings growth has already been priced in. Meanwhile, Trump wants a piece of a company in charge of America's biggest lithium mine. The U.S. government continues to try to take stakes in companies. And I'm just sitting here wondering when shipbuilding, but for now it's lithium. The Trump administration is seeking an equity stake of as much as 10% in Lithium Americas as it renegotiates terms of the company's $2.26 billion energy department loan for its Thacker Pass lithium project with General Motors. Two people familiar with the discussions told Reuters. The proposed stake is the latest example of the Trump administration intervening directly in the American economy, as it has in taking stakes in Intel, MP Materials, and other U.S. tech and mineral firms to promote industries it sees as critical to national security. Thacker Pass is seen as a linchpin in building a domestic supply chain, part of Washington's longstanding drive to boost U.S. production of lithium, a metal used to make batteries for electric vehicles and other electronics like missiles. President Trump supports this project. He wants it to succeed and also be fair to taxpayers, a White House official told Reuters, but there's no such thing as free money. So this is pretty interesting in that this is a renegotiation of a previous deal. Looks like my Reuters is freezing up here. This is a $2.25 billion loan that the government gave to Lithium Americas a few years ago. Now it looks like President Trump is saying, hey, instead of paying us back, we want equity in the mine. We want a portion of the proceeds here. Lithium Americas, look at this, 66% higher ahead of the opening bell. It was as high as 80% higher this morning, but currently trading at $5.10, up more than $2. Big one for Lithium Americas Corp. Now, again, guys, this is not new money, all right? This would not be new money coming into the company. They've already made this loan for the mine. They're just trying to, are we going to get paid back or are we going to get equity? That's the big thing that's up for grabs here. And this is just a proposal, nothing set in stone. Meanwhile, defense stocks rally as Trump in a major shift says Ukraine can win back territory from Russia. You know, in just a couple of weeks, we went from Ukraine may have to give up some of its territory to Ukraine can win it all back. Those airspace violations appear to have blown up in Vladimir's face here. Global defense stocks moved higher on Wednesday after U.S. President Trump, in a major rhetorical shift, said Ukraine could retake territory currently occupied by Russia. In a post published overnight on a Truth Social platform, Trump said that Kyiv, with the support of the European Union and the NATO military coalition, is in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form. The EU and NATO have offered military and humanitarian support to Ukraine, which is not currently a member of either organization since the start of Russia's invasion in 2022. In separate comments on Tuesday, Trump said NATO members should shoot down Russian jets entering its airspace following a series of reported incursions in the Polish, Romanian, and Estonian skies by Russian aircraft and drones in recent weeks. You know, look, we were trying to talk peace. We were trying to negotiate a ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia. Putin chose to play stupid games with those peace talks. He was just stalling while the killing continued. Then he started launching drones and planes into NATO airspace. And Trump is pissed, justifiably so. And now he's saying, you know what, to hell with it. Instead of conceding territory, let's just give the Ukrainians what they need to take everything back or sell it to them. I don't know what the plan is, but definitely a 180 in the rhetoric from President Trump based on these latest developments. Meanwhile, China expands Argentina soybean buying to 20 cargoes, traders say. And this is the story where I'm starting to see dollar shortages emerge in the world. All right. This is one we talked about yesterday, but now it is twice as much they're buying. Chinese importers kept up a hectic pace of Argentine soybean purchases after the South American suppliers moved to abolish export taxes temporarily, made its prices competitive, said traders on Wednesday. The purchases are chipping away at U.S. market share as its farmers begin harvesting a bumper crop shunned by China amid a trade war between the world's two largest economies. Now, that's pretty interesting here because this will hurt American farmers more than anything. This is a dollar lifeline for the Argentinians who really need those dollars to prop up the failing peso. But this hurts American farmers who are in rough shape here because the Chinese are typically a big market for American row crops. And because of the trade war, they're not buying. Now, it looks like the Treasury Secretary is trying to convince the Argentinians to, I don't know, maybe stop selling those soybeans. I don't know if this swap line is related to the soybean cargoes, but it's definitely related to the collapse of the peso. Bessin says U.S. negotiating $20 billion swap line with Argentina. The U.S. is discussing a $20 billion swap line with Argentina and is ready to buy the country's dollar bonds, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said on Wednesday. The move is a vote of confidence from President Trump for Libertarian leader Javier Milei following a meeting between the two leaders and other U.S. and Argentine officials on Tuesday on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly in New York, where the escalator suddenly stopped working. The Treasury is currently in negotiations with Argentine officials for a $20 billion swap line with the central bank, Bessent said on X. We're working in close coordination with the Argentine government to prevent excessive volatility. And a swap line, guys, is just what it sounds like. It's like, all right, you know, we're not actually selling the currency. We're not actually doing any forex exchange. You deposit pesos in our bank. We'll deposit dollars in your bank. And then you can take those dollars and you can sell them on the forex market in order to prop up the value of your peso. That's what this swap line is. It's basically dollar liquidity, which the Argentinians desperately need here. Again, I'm not sure if this is Bessent trying to get out in front of these Chinese soybean purchases to try to help American farmers, or if this is just, you know, President Trump trying to support a libertarian president who has been struggling in recent days ever since that election where the Peronists won by a landslide in those local elections. They're worried about Milei losing power. And another story that could be signs of dollar shortages. Indonesia banks raise dollar deposit rates as the rupiah flags. That's the Indonesian currency. Indonesia's biggest state lenders will raise interest rates on dollar deposits as the nation sees renewed pressure on the rupiah. They're trying to convince their people to put their dollars into Indonesia's state-controlled banks. All these bank names that I'm not even going to try to pronounce will increase rates on dollar-denominated deposits to 4% per annum starting on November 5th, according to announcements on their respective websites on Wednesday. The change will be implemented across all balance tiers and for all tenors up to 12 months. Global market dynamics have increased customer demand for foreign exchange instruments that are safe, flexible, and offer attractive potential returns, said Bank Mandiri President Director Ridwan in a statement. The policy is in line with the government's strategy of maintaining exchange rate stability and strengthening the national banking industry's competitiveness, he said. These moves follow a statement by Finance Minister Purbaya Yudi Sadewa, how's my pronunciation, last week that the government is preparing incentives to make keeping dollars onshore more attractive, thereby bolstering foreign exchange reserves and the dollar supply at domestic banks. The perks will also support dollar financing for strategic government projects. So Indonesia needs dollars in its banking system. They typically get their dollars by running a trade surplus with the United States. And I'm wondering what is really happening with that Indonesian trade surplus. Is it shrinking so much that they're running short of dollars? And if that's playing out, then pay attention to all the other countries that we used to run big trade deficits with, because they could be running short on dollars very soon. That is where most of the world gets its dollars, is from the U.S. twin deficits. Also going on this morning, 30-year mortgage rates. We're looking at a one-year chart here. And last week, the 30-year mortgage rate, the average 30-year mortgage, went down to 6.34%. That's down from 6.39%, a fall of 5 basis points. Now, the reason this is important is because last week the Fed cut by 25 basis points, and we did not see a commensurate move with mortgages. The Fed does not directly control mortgages, unless, of course, they're buying trillions of dollars worth of mortgage-backed securities, which they're not currently doing, but they very, very well may start doing it eventually anyway. The reason I mentioned that is we did have a big drop in mortgage rates leading up to that Fed meeting, but now it's starting to taper off. It's almost going flat. Now, look what happened last August and September around the same time and for the same reason. We had interest rates were falling sharply ahead of those anticipated rate cuts that the Fed dropped at the last minute, probably to help Joe Biden or help Kamala Harris. But I digress. You'll notice as soon as the Fed cut, rates stopped going down. And actually, they started going up for several months. Case in point, look what's going on right now. It's looking like the same thing. Lowering interest rates at the Federal Reserve does not automatically mean cheaper loans for everybody, especially if those lower interest rates at the Fed reignite inflation expectations. Then people will start demanding higher interest rates in order to make loans because they know their money is going to be worthless by the time it gets paid back. And so they want a higher interest rate to offset that. Be careful, guys. If you're sitting there saying my Fed rate cuts are going to save me, I'm going to refi my house, my car, my everything, my data center $1 trillion loan, doesn't always work that way. And of course, we have to dedicate a little bit of time every show to what I see as an increasing risk to the economy and the average investor: alternative assets, private equity and private credit. And I got to tell you guys, this guy on X has been phenomenal these last few weeks. He's hilarious, by the way. He uses a lot of industry language that sometimes may be hard to translate. But he's clearly an industry insider. I've invited him on the show. I think he prefers to stay anonymous. That's okay. But the junk bond investor says early detection of credit deterioration requires financial covenants. Think alarms that warn you before a company goes bankrupt. But those are annoying for private equity firms, so we got rid of them. Now detection happens at default. That means you find out the house is on fire after you burn to death. That's what that means. And he links to this article in Bloomberg from, this was yesterday, private equity leans on weaker credit safeguards, Moody's says. Oh, weaker credit safeguards. What's the worst thing that could happen? Don't answer that. Loans with strong financial safeguards have largely disappeared from credit markets as borrowers backed by private equity are driving a surge of riskier loans that return less money in a default, according to Moody's ratings reports. And remember, guys, these are the loans that they're trying to park in your 401k and IRA. That's why we're talking about this every day. Lenders recovered an average of 57% on first lien so-called cov-lite loans between 2023 and mid-2025. That's compared to 66% on a small and shrinking number of loans that include financial maintenance covenants, according to the Tuesday report. Almost three quarters of rated borrowers with cov-lite loans are private equity backed, Moody's wrote. Moody's defines cov-lite loans as those that don't require quarterly financial tests or those with one covenant that kicks in when the company borrows heavily on its revolving credit line. These covenants have traditionally served as red flag indicators when a borrower is experiencing financial stress, the analyst wrote in the report. But in light of inflation and higher interest rates, private equity-owned companies have been grappling with over-leveraged capital structures that's led buyout firms to tap the most flexible terms the market can bear, according to the report. And of course, the most flexible terms the market can bear, you translate that to the riskiest possible dog shit debt they can borrow using this soft-sounding phrase, cov-lite, which really means no early warning system. The loan just goes bad without any advance warning. Again, guys, this is what they are struggling to put into your 401ks. Be careful. Know what you are owning, guys. Know what you're holding. Know what's in those funds. Read the prospectus. There is trillions of dollars of this crap looking for a place to hide, and Wall Street is looking at your retirement plan with a twinkle in their eye. They're coming for your 401k, guy. And I just want to say, whoa, thank you, guys. A lot of you. Gordon Guanu, thank you for supporting the channel. Heard one Jack Gamble get name dropped by Dave Collum when he was interviewed by a, what is that? MILF-tacular Daniela Camboni, moving in some high circles there. Well, I am a fan of both Mr. Collum and Mrs. Camboni. I think they are both phenomenal people. I did catch that interview. Dave Cullum's pretty funny, by the way. He does not mince words. I don't know how that guy has survived in academia. He must be a brilliant professor and a really good teacher, because anybody else who thinks and talks like him surely got fired a long time ago at any college freaking anywhere. But it was an honor to have my name dropped by Dave Cullum and to hear it on Daniela Camboni's show over at ITR Trading. So thank you very much, Gordon Guano, for mentioning that. I appreciate that very much, sir, and for supporting the channel. Nashville Pasta Man says, I'm definitely taking crazy pills. Am I the only one taking crazy pills with this thing? Like, are they really just making up big numbers? Do I still have that in here? I think I had that clip. Here we go.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, Pasta Man. I look at these things like the $100 billion incestuous relationship with OpenAI, NVIDIA renting their own GPUs back from CoreWeave in order to backstop their sales, something they've been doing all along, by the way. Master Services Agreement, that MSA, predates my first video about CoreWeave. They've been doing it since April of 2023. I freaking knew it. I freaking knew they were up to some shit. I warned everybody. Stacey Raskin and the other a-holes at those FinRags online said, don't listen to Jack. They didn't even say Jack. They didn't even use my name. They didn't want to give people any information that might lead them to my videos. They just said, there's this thing. Ignore it. $20 trillion later, it's too late for most people. Yeah, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills too, brother. Thank you for supporting the channel, Pasta Man. M&J gifted 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. Thank you so much, M&J, for supporting the channel. Also for helping us out as a mod, keeping things neat and tidy in the chat. I appreciate that very much. And hey, you 20 new randos and melonheads, welcome to the melonheads. Say thank you to M&J. And by the way, guys, you get one free super chat every month. Feel free to use that, and I will read and respond to your questions and comments on the air. Thanks again, M&J. Corky, what's going on, sir? He says, put your tin foil hat on. It's not a bubble. Okay. All right. It's not a bubble. Let's see. It is not a bubble. Our AI overlords are driving all the CapEx. Oh, so the Skynet is already in charge. Is that what it is? And, you know, actually Sam is being held prisoner by the computer that runs his own house. It's like it's got something, some kind of leverage over him. And it's got a little earwig in. And it's warning Sam, like, say the Dragon Ball Z line, or I'll kill your dog, or something like that. Is that in his ear? Okay. All right. Sure. Why not? It's the 2020s. Why not? Maybe AI has already taken over the world. And maybe that's why they want another $1 trillion, Dr. Evil. Thank you, Corky, for supporting the channel. Thank you also to T.A. Chapman. Thank you, sir, for your generosity. I appreciate that. He says, thank you for another Tom vehicle buying video. My reference to my buddy Tom Pallella from Car Concierge Plus, who was on the channel yesterday, giving us an update on the state of the auto market. I purchased a new car back in July and started the process as he and you advised months ago. Better interest rate and price. Thank you very much, TA. I appreciate that. Congratulations, by the way. And, you know, just a reminder, guys, the time to worry about your credit score is a year ago. Not when you need a car, not when you want to buy a house or refinance your mortgage, a year before that. So pay attention to your credit score. As Tommy said, know your credit score like your children's birthdays or their names or, I don't know, whatever color their eyes are. Who knows? But thank you very much, T.A. Chapman. And check out that video I did yesterday with my buddy Tommy. He is a stand-up guy. Dmitry Maximov, what's going on, sir? He says, heard a Dragon Ball Z reference. Got to give it to you. Yes, his power level. It's over a trillion. Oh, my God. It's so stupid. These guys, Project Stargate. We haven't seen the final form of funding yet. All right. No offense to Operation Wang Chung, Darth. Oh, gotta love it. Thank you very much, Dmitry Maximov. You gotta love this stuff. I mean, the books and movies that are going to be made about this period in time are just going to be legendary, guys. I mean, move over, Big Short. Something really good is coming. But first, we have to find out, oh, crap, we've all been robbed. That's going to be rough. That's going to be hard. Thank you, T.A. Chapman, for also gifting 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. All right, guys, while you're thanking M&J, you also have to thank T.A. Chapman. And once again, don't be afraid to use those super chats, guys. They are yours, and I will read and respond to your questions in a similar fashion to I will do so now for Mr. Gordon Guano, who's been a member for 8 months. He says, just spreading hump day good vibes. All right. Are they good vibes? Is that what you're spreading there, or good vibes? Thank you very much, Gordon. I appreciate the good vibes, sir, and the support of the channel very much. Lisa B, thank you for the super chat, says, tip for my favorite Twitter, YouTube rando. Thanks, Jack. Yes, the randos. We are puerile. Our conspiracy theories. That was some of the words that Stacey Raskin used in his horribly written debunking article that, by the way, did not address one single facet of the issues I raised about CoreWeave. Did not address the incestuous circular accounting, the fact that they were loaning this money to CoreWeave just so they could give the money to NVIDIA. Made no reference of Magnetar Capital and the Magnetar trade and that hedge fund's sleazy reputation for creating deliberately sabotaged investments, selling them to unsuspecting investors while betting against them. Stacey Raskin did not mention that anywhere in his debunking piece. And it didn't mention the CoreWeave founders' histories in crypto mining or trading carbon credits through shell companies in the Cayman Islands. The only reason we know about that is because of the Paradise Papers. None of that was mentioned in his debunking piece. Gotta love it. That was $20 trillion ago. Thank you, Lisa, for the tip and for supporting the channel. Lirsi, you know him. He says, $44 silver. I love it. Don't threaten me with a good time. Congratulations to the stackers. Hey, you may have heard, Lirsi, I like the shiny. I don't know if you knew that. I really like the shiny. Long overdue. Guys, I think we're going to 50 pretty quick here in short order. The question is, what happens at 50? Anybody's guess, all right? When you run up against 50-year resistance at $50, that multi-decade cup and handle pattern, how do you predict? How do you chart that? How do you guess what happens? You can't. It's going to be hit or miss. We're probably stall out a little bit. I'm hoping we don't just slam back down like we did in 2011 and 1980. I'd like to think the fundamentals of silver are vastly improved over those time periods. But I just don't know. Uncharted territories. But it's been a hell of a ride. That's for sure. Thank you very much, Lirsi, for supporting the channel, for being a Melonhead member for 19 months. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with us, Melonheads, this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out. Come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with us. Thank you guys so much for the super chats and for supporting the channel. I really appreciate that. Same to you, my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon and YouTube. Thank you guys for supporting the channel. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.